You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host, and today our guest is Matt Abusi, of the Communications Director for the Colorado River District. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me, Bill. Pleasure to be here.
Really glad that we are going to talk about something that's really important to me personally and to Colorado and the Western Slope, and that is about the Shoshone Power Plant water rights. But Colorado River District really is part of the people that are through. I'll let you explain it, Matt, a little bit better. But it was founded in 1937 as a public water planning and policy agency for Colorado. And Colorado River flows for 40 million people, including Colorado River District, play in conserving this Grand River.
Yeah, well, thank you again for having me and appreciate the question. It's a good question. The Colorado River District, which is coming right up on 90 years of existence, represents, and in that region, about 65% of the flows that of the Colorado River originate. So it's a really meaningful area for the entire West that relies on this great river system. It's the headwaters of the Colorado River. We play a part in a variety of capacities. We represent Western negotiations and policy making decisions, and we ensure that Western Colorado's voice is heard in decisions that are being made around the resource that will impact this region.
Sometimes those of us on the Western Slope don't feel like our voices are heard that much, but it's definitely important to be on the Western Slope and try to make a difference, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, and you know, to expand on that, we do that in a variety of capacities. You know, not only on the policy and political front, but here on the Western Slope, we make investments in infrastructure. We make investments on behalf of water users that help improve the way that we use the water resource and the efficiency for agriculture and for economies and communities that rely on the river.
And you have quite a staff. I'm really impressed with the professionalism of the staff that you have there at the district.
Yeah, I'm proud to work with all of them. They're all very smart, much smarter than me.
I would like to talk a lot about the Shoshone Power Plant water rights. And so do you have some information for us on that?
Yeah, you know, hopefully many of the listeners here have heard of the Shoshone Water Rights Preservation Project and campaign. And if they haven't, I'll just give it a quick overview. If you've ever driven through Glenwood Canyon, which I know many of us have many times, we've driven by this small brown building with some big pipes running up into the cliffside there, and that's the historic Shoshone Hydropower Plant, and it's associated with some of the oldest and most senior water rights on the Colorado River system, and those water rights are non-consumptive, which means the water that they use to generate hydropower goes right back into the river, and they're very large in volume, 1,408 CFS in total, which, you know, to kind of translate that, that's pretty much all the water that you see in the river as it flows in Glenwood Springs right now. If you go down there and look at it, most of that water or most all of that water is about the flow responsible from the Shoshone Call. So it's very important. It provides water to Western Slope communities for drinking water, for agriculture, and it's a part of the backbone of our economy here on the West Slope.
For sure. I wrote a letter when the public comment period was on about my support for what was going on there. I think sometimes citizens don't do that, and then you regret it, and I didn't want to regret it. So that was important to me for sure.
We've had a very engaged group and communities across the Western Slope, and what's happening with that project right now is the River District in late 2023 went under contract to buy those water rights from Xcel Energy for $99 million. The purpose of that project is to keep Western Slope water here on the Western Slope, and that buying and permanently protecting those water rights so that if anything happens to that hydropower plant, those water rights and those flows stay in the Colorado River. That's the goal of the River District with this project, and we've received tremendous support from communities, including funding from over 40 funders that helped us raise over $57 million. And then just recently in May, we received additional $40 million that was originally committed from the Biden administration on the last day of the Biden administration. administration, for that matter, under the Inflation Reduction Act to help us shore up that funding. And with some help from elected officials, including Jeff Hurd, who really helped get the current administration to take another look at this project and release that $40 million. That brings us right up to near the finish line on the funding component, which is a really important piece of this project. And with just a little over $1.7 million left, we're talking to other local municipalities who've expressed interest in helping us get that across the finish line. So once that process moves through Water Court, which it's just entering now, and will take some time, but our team is very confident in that process, and we've completed the funding, and we're working on permanently protecting those flows for Western Colorado.
So those of you listening with very deep pockets, you can help make up for the $1.7 million short that we have.
One of the benefits of this project is all of this money is public dollars going towards public good. So we don't have any private donations as a part of it, but we see this as a good investment for public dollars because it is.
Absolutely. You know, on your homepage, ColoradoRiverDistrict.org, are these words: to lead in the protection, conservation, use and development of the water resources of Colorado, of the Colorado River Basin, for the welfare of the district and to safeguard for Colorado all waters of Colorado River to which the state is entitled. That last part, especially, you know, we are entitled to a certain amount of the water. And, you know, I kind of would like for the public to know as much as possible, if you could tell us a little bit about how things are playing out in reaching an agreement from the upper and lower basin states for the expired 1922 Colorado River Compact that would help fulfill that statement of safeguarding all the waters of the Colorado River to which the state is entitled.
Sure. Well, first of all, I don't have to tell anybody that's listening to this that we are experiencing an extreme drought year. In fact, it's the most extreme that Colorado has ever experienced by quite a wide margin. And so what that does is it really puts a strain on an already strained system in the Colorado River. And one really important clarification, and Bill, under no fault of your own, but many people say that the 1922 Colorado River Compact is expiring. And that's not the case. What is expiring are the guidelines that govern the operations of Lakes Powell and Lake Mead, which serve as the primary storage buckets of the West.
Appreciate that correction. That's really important. Yeah. So thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
And so the seven basin states have not yet reached an agreement on what replaces those guidelines. They have been under negotiation for some time. And significant differences remain between the upper and lower basins on how they intend to approach that agreement, if they can get to one. And if they can't, by end of September of this year, the Bureau of Reclamation has put forward some operating guideline alternatives that they will enforce if they can't. But from the River District's perspective, we really think they need to get to an agreement and keep this process out of litigation. That's really bad for everybody, and particularly potentially for Western Colorado, as you know, see above, where much of the Colorado River comes from. But any agreement must recognize the physical realities of the river. This is a river system that just doesn't provide what the existing agreements say that it should. And so addressing the hydrologic reality is really important. And the upper basin, in our perspective, lives every day in that hydrologic reality. And we depend on the snowpack and the flows that come from that snowpack every year. And so variability is the name of the game here in the upper basin. And our water users, they live within those means. In the lower basin, by contrast, has historically been able to rely on large reservoirs and has had really stable water supplies, enabling them to use much more than they should. It's important to recognize that. And the River District's perspective, on behalf of the state, it's safeguarding Colorado's entitlement doesn't mean using every possible drop. It means ensuring that Colorado, and particularly and specifically the West Slope, are not required to bear disproportionate share of the reductions or accepts new obligations that are inconsistent with what our legal obligations are and the compact. And really, these agreements need to address lower basin overuse and really bring in back into reality the use of this resource and what the river is actually providing. And so we support a collaborative negotiated solution, and it, and we'll continue to advocate for Western Slope in that process.
Great. Thanks, Matt. You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. Today, our guest is Matt Abusi from the Colorado River District, and we are talking about the waters of the Colorado River. You know, having to let the feds, having been an employee of the federal government for over 30 years, try to work out what needs to be done is scary to me. I really hope that
not only you.
Yeah, I really hope that we can come to some agreement before that happens. And you know, there's things that each of us as individuals can do to conserve water. I know we are letting our back lawn just totally go away. It'll come back possibly in the future. And you know, there are watering restrictions here in Carbondale. Before 10 o'clock, you need to water, not at the high period of peak evaporation. So there are things you can do. And you know, I don't know, basically, if you have any more ideas about what people can do to help the district protect the waters of the Colorado River.
Yeah, there's some basic things. You know, in a year like this, having a brown lawn is a badge of honor. You know, and there is some basic strategies like adhering to the watering restrictions, you know, being cognizant. And that's one great thing about Western Slope residents, is they're all really connected to water. Even if you're not a agricultural producer yourself, you live in an agricultural economy, you understand the impacts, you see low stream flows in the rivers, you can feel how hot it is and how smoky it is, and everybody's keenly aware. And so, you know, we here on the West Slope historically have been willing to walk the talk, and that is that remains important even today as we speak. You know, we encourage people to not water their lawns in years like this.
Right? So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's there are small. I mean, it seems like a small thing for people, but these things, small things, add up to big things. Yeah. You know, let's talk about the drought for just a second. You know, when people hear that, I think sometimes they can get sort of just sort of blank, look like deer in the headlights. But it's really true. I mean, we've been keeping records for how long now? Since the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the drought is – it affects people. It affects farmers, affects recreationists. Yeah. And that's something that we all need to take responsibility for. I know there are a lot of challenges, you know, that you have in working for the Colorado River District. If you could tell us a little bit about your job and what the challenges are to you and to the future for the district.
Yeah, well, you mentioned a couple of things there that I think are important. You know, this taking action in the face of this unprecedented drought condition is part of what the River District does and is for. And this year, we've been working extremely hard. Our engineering, our technical teams, our policy teams have been working with state and local water entities to use the available storage supplies to provide the most benefit to the most water users, to keep the call off the rivers so that agricultural producers can keep growing, to get a first cutting of hay, to get a first crop, and because that really is the backbone of our economy here on the Western Slope, and the River District is keenly aware of that. We work for water users, and so we've really been keen on trying to take action in the face of this drought. And so, you know, my job each day is oftentimes translating what our team is doing to do interviews right. like this, to talk about what is a complex and historically nuanced concepts and conversation around water in the West, to understand where do we sit today, what can we expect in the future, and what is the River District doing on your behalf? Because we work for residents across these 15 counties. We're funded by those residents, we deeply appreciate that every day, and we want to use those tax dollars hard to go to their greatest benefit.
You know, I'm thinking about down river a little bit from us here, Palisade and the peaches, and how probably it sounded like from an expert the other day, a grower, that they're not going to have nearly the peach crop that they normally have. We have the grapes there for the winery. It's really one of the top wineries in Colorado. And, you know, we just need to think about what we do and how we can support the Colorado River District ourselves. What about the district? What are some of the challenges for the whole district that you're facing? Because I know you guys, I really like to go to the State of the River meeting that you have every year.
Yeah.
That really helps to get an idea of what you're doing and what's to be expected.
Yeah, well, you know, you can think about it like this. And, you know, we talked about lawn watering and conservation of water, and every drop that you don't spray on a lawn is a drop that's available for a peach grower in Palisade or for an agriculture producer in Mesa County. That goes across the Western Slope, not just on the main stem of the Colorado. But these conservation efforts, they have meaningful impacts on our region. But challenges that face the district and Western Colorado as a whole is we're living in a hotter and drier future more and more all the time.
Isn't
this year is double underscores that. And so how we approach that, how we prepare for that, how we make investments that help our water users prepare for that hotter and drier reality, to harden their systems, to create efficiencies, to work within a hydrologic reality that we're facing is a big part of our job, and how we communicate that, how we unite, how we do those short-term projects, and we unite groups to take on long-term projects like Shoshone for legacy type efforts that we think our children and grandchildren will look back on and say, wow, we're really glad they did that when they did. And so it's not just the Shoshone permanency effort. Our organization keeps an eye on the long range condition of the Colorado River and Western Colorado.
For sure. You know, I'm sure you probably give talks to kids. I've done that myself. I gave a talk one time and the kids wrote letters back, and it was a slideshow where you had real slides, not the PowerPoint thing. And the kid wrote this letter back. He goes, "My dad is a nomad too. I really enjoyed your slideshow." I kept that letter, still have it today. It was hilarious. Do you have any experiences that you'd like to share with us? It's sort of like,
well,
that.
you know, I can't quite say specifically like that, but I will say this year we had our State of the River series, which is we held a dozen events across Western Colorado, and they were tremendously attended. People are really engaged in the conversations happening around water. And when we just hear every day from agricultural producers, from municipal providers, from everyday water users about what their reality is on the ground, and it really helps us and informs our work and how we take action on behalf of Western Colorado. So we hear lots of incidental stories, and we get a lot of appreciation from meetings like those, and we get feedback too, which is really welcome.
So, right. Yeah. Earlier in the show, you talked about the call on the river. A lot of people may not know what that's about. Could you enlighten us a little bit on that?
Yeah. And without taking too much time, you know, we have the prior appropriation system here in Colorado, like many states in the West. And that means a first in time is first in right. And so an older, more senior water right has the ability to use their right before a junior user. So when a call goes on the river, that's a senior right calling out, in air quotes, a junior users. And so here in Western Colorado, oftentimes you hear about the call on the Colorado River coming from the Cameo call, which is a big driver of operations on the Colorado River here in Western Colorado. And that provides water for agricultural producers in the Grand Junction area.
And that's a big dam when you go by on the Colorado River toward Grand Junction. It's off to the right there when you come through the canyon.
Yeah.
There's another dam that is taking some news here lately. I know there's a book called "The Life After Deadpool." I can't remember the author on that. I'm terrible with names. But Deadpool means that the Glen Canyon Dam is going to go below the ability to produce electricity. Is that correct?
Yeah. When they talk about Deadpool at Lake Powell, and that would be the inability to let water out of the dam almost at all. But really, Lake Powell is sitting somewhere in the neighborhood of 23-24% full right now, which is historically low. And bumping right up against the power pool, which is the ability to let water out of the dam through its primary mechanism for releases, which is through the power plant turbines. The Bureau of Reclamation is taking action by releasing water out of Flaming Gorge. and other initial units to upstream units to help prop up the levels at Lake Powell. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, as I mentioned, an unprecedented year, and this the winter we've had. I don't have to tell listeners here that we had a bad winter, but that's sure. where the water comes from is that snowpack, and when the snowpack is historically low, so are the flows, and that reservoir was already in a very low condition, and so it remains that way, and that's in part what's really driving this conversation between the seven basin states about what do we do next, what kind of agreement can we come to, because the operating guidelines and the rules we've been using are clearly not working.
Correct. And the dams on the river, that was during a period of time when the Bureau of Reclamation through Congress and appropriations built quite a number of dams. And the water is held back for downstream users, right? I mean, we got the next lake is Lake Mead, I believe, isn't it?
And next major reservoir.
Yeah, next major reservoir. And so what doesn't get there doesn't get there. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff if you think about it. But in particular, the water, there's only so much water in, like, Rudire Reservoir is controlled by the Bureau of Reclamation. And I've noticed sometimes you'll see a little greater flow than normal. I mean, normally this time of year there would be a greater flow. But, I mean, you see sort of a letting water out of the dam there. Is that going to happen in the future? I mean, are there times that people can know about that? So, I mean, it would be great for rafting. You'd know when to put in.
Yeah. Well, you touch on sort of an interesting subject there. And the River District owns some water in Rudire Reservoir, and that's part of the water we're using right now and releasing for downstream users to help keep calls off the river, to help provide agricultural water. And kind of a byproduct of that is plussed up recreational opportunity.
Right.
And if you look, you know, at the American Whitewater website about boatable flows in Colorado right now, you'll notice something pretty striking, which is that there's really only a handful of sections that look good for recreation right now. And
right.
and largely that's in part that's largely in part to reservoir releases that are happening as part of these operations. So the upper Colorado is flowing at about 1200 CFS today.
Oh, good.
And so that's really prime for boating and fishing up there. And that's it, not in small part because of those reservoir releases and the same coming out of Rudire. And so and not to go without mentioning, Shoshone is primarily responsible for the flows in that section of the Colorado right now, which is making it, you know, one of the only spots in the state that has great boating. So, you know, we encourage people to go out and enjoy those flows, but that's why they're happening. It's because of those types of reservoir releases, because of the water management and the structure of water use we have here in Colorado.
Yeah, I work at REI part-time, and I have people come in there and ask about the river and had showing on the map exactly where they want to put in and take out. And I think it'd still be a pretty good flow from Carbondale to either the next
Iron Bridge,
where the BLM put in a really nice take-in spot there and take-out spot. But it's just going to be kind of slow, I think, when the river's not up to what it should be.
Yeah, you know, we're experiencing an unprecedented dry year. And so really coming into the hot, dry part of the summer right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, you know, that's as a part of this structure and as a operational byproduct of these reservoir releases, there will be boatable flows in some of these key sections. And they may be the only sections in the state, really, that have those flows. So the River right. District is, you know, we're aware of that. We have a lot of boaters in our office, myself included.
Right.
And so it's not lost on us that the recreational economy is pretty important to Western Colorado.
For sure. For sure. Well, in the next couple of minutes we have, what would you like to leave our listeners with? What information or what would you like to tell us?
You know, a couple of things. We appreciate everybody who's really engaged in the conversation around water. It's a big part of our job, my job particularly, to keep people engaged, keep them informed. One great way to do that is to sign up for our email newsletter. It's called The News Drop. Comes out typically twice a week, and it's a curated list of relevant news, of events, of updates that if you're interested in this conversation about what's happening on your local rivers, what's happening in Western Colorado, and what's happening on the broader Colorado River system, it's in our opinion, the best place to get that news all in one place. Also, our annual seminar is September 18th in Grand Junction at Colorado Mesa University. And that is a gathering of minds and leaders in Western water that talk about all of these issues that are happening in real time and some of the leading voices. And really, if you're interested in a real deep dive education on what's happening and who's making those decisions and how it impacts our region and across the West, that's an excellent place to do it. So September 18th, Colorado Mesa University, the Colorado River District Annual Water Seminar.
Great. Yeah, those things are great. I've been to a few of those, and it's really important. I also take your email, River Drop. That keeps me advised of what's going on too.
Very good. Very good.
Well, thank you, Matt. We really appreciate you coming in today. And for our next Land Shake show, it will be second Monday in August, August the 10th at 4:30. And until then, whatever you do for Mother Nature, do it for land's sake.